topic to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If there's no greater time to live a Christian in the world in which we live now, it is now is the time. We live amongst a nation that has once was founded on the Word of God. We live in a nation that once, we heard this morning, that once was built upon biblical principles, but something has happened. I titled my message tonight, and I would just like to give you this little thought. I don't really have points, but I have a few things to say that the Lord's laid on my heart. You know, we live in America. We even live in a blessed land. We heard that song this morning, the pastor preaching. We live in a blessed nation. We drive fancy cars. I mean, we have fancy houses. You know, it's never what to eat, or never how much do we have to eat. It's always what to eat. I think the question we need to ask, and I think Paul even brings it out here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What are we trusting in this life in which we live? You see the way the world is going. You see the way our society and the world, and if you look to the government's going to fail you. It's failed this country. It's failed you time, and it's failed me time and time again. Our sufficiency is not in the government. Maybe you trusted in finances. It's good to work. The Bible says you're worse than an infidel if you don't provide for your houses. But the problem comes when we make the money the love of our life, because it's the root of all evil. Let me read you the scriptures and we'll get into it a little bit more. I titled this message, What Are You Trusting In? We'll read verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of letters, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I've derived the thinking and the message of, with this topic. I think Paul is telling the church of Corinth, you think about their mindset. You think about what they're going through in that church. And Paul called them a carnal church. They let fornication and other things into the church. They were practicing idolatry habits, yet still naming the name of Christ. Paul was calling them hypocrites at some time in 1 Corinthians. They were doing things they ought not to do in their Christian faith. They were doing things inside the church in 1 Corinthians, in the first epistle that Paul wrote to them, was teaching them and telling them to search and seek after God. Here, Paul is talking about his ministry and the ministry administration of the New Testament and what the New Testament is. Obviously, we find in this passage of Scripture, even going on in chapter 4, he's talking about his ministry, or the ministry of reconciliation. And then we find the ministry of God's power, and we keep on going. There's a ministry that Paul is describing to these people that they need to stay faithful in. They don't need to trust in things that are around. They don't need to trust in anything else, because they find something here that Paul's saying, listen, I don't trust in everything else that's around me. I don't trust in wealth. I don't trust in riches. I don't trust in this worldly gain, but my sufficiency is in something. My trust is not in the things of this world. This world will let you down time and time again. This world can't give you what God can give you. You think about the world in which we live, and you see these young people, and you're trying to teach them and trying to train them up in the ways of the Lord, and you still see them getting drawn by the world. They think it's sufficient for them. They think the world is enough. But we find that it's not. We deal with so many people that have so many problems because of this world. There's sin in this world. Pastor preached, there's another home that we're looking for. This world is not our home. But as I draw my mind to this one thought, in this day, what am I trusting in? my marriage, what am I trusting in? As a born-again believer, what am I trusting in? Am I trusting in myself? Am I being selfish? Do you think I could work to get me out of this problem that I'm in? Maybe I put myself in financial struggle and I'm trying to work to get myself out of financial struggle. Am I trusting in finances? I find myself asking this question. What am I trusting in? We find here Paul saying who he trusts in. We find here in verse 5, he says, not that we have sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. First here, Paul's telling them, listen, you don't have to trust in the world. The world can't give you what God can give you. He even told in chapter 2 and verse 14 through 17, he's saying, our triumphity, our victory in this world is in Christ. God, it says, God is sufficient. That word literally means God is enough. We don't need anything else. God is everything that we need in this world. We have all this stuff, but it gets burnt up the last day. So what am I trusting in? Am I trusting in God? Is God enough? Our sufficiency is of God. We are very prideful people. When you think about it, think about all the things that we do for self. Think about all the things that we gather together for my own pleasure. I was struggling with this the other day. I wanted something, but I couldn't have it. We talk about pride, and we talk about how pride has, you know, we say we're proud of America, and I believe we should be. But pride is what destroyed this nation in the first place. Pride is what destroyed humanity from the beginning. The root of Adam and Eve's sin was pride. They said they want to be as God. We are very prideful people. We have everything we want, as we say in earthly terms. We have wealthy paychecks that come in the mail or come into our bank accounts. We have very nice cars that we drive. We have very nice houses. And a lot of times when we were moving, we had to leave stuff behind because it wouldn't fit in the U-Haul when we moved. So I asked myself this question, and I know it's not profound, but God was really working on my heart. What am I trusting in? Paul's saying our sufficiency is of God. But he doesn't stop there. God is enough. We don't need anything else. But God gives us something in this world to help us along. Paul said, God had made me an able minister in verse 6. He says, not by the letter, but by the Spirit. It's amazing how God's saying he is enough, and because he is in this world and working in this world, and it's by the person of the Holy Spirit of God that God is moving in this world and God is doing his work in this world. God gives us what Paul said, his sufficiency is in God, but he found that God had given him something to help him here on this earth. The worldly gains come, the worldly things come to our lives, and we try to find sufficiency in those things, but we come to find out that we don't find sufficiency in those things. We find it in God. But God gave Paul, and Paul was reading here, and Paul was telling the people, listen, I don't have to live on this own. I don't have to live this world on my own. I don't have to do it on my own because God gave me the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, as a born-again believer, comes into our lives when we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He said, yes, my sufficiency is in God, but God gives us an enabler. God gives us an agent that he's working in this world, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God comes into our lives, and he fills us, and he helps us, and he encourages us, and he helps to get accomplished God's will in this world through the Holy Spirit of God. It tells me three things in this passage of Scripture that the Holy Spirit does in this earth. It says, number one, it gives life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says there is life. When the Holy Spirit of God is moving, when the Holy Spirit of God is working, there is life. When the Holy Spirit comes into a person, it brings life. It's because of what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross. God promises us, and or Jesus Christ even promised his own disciples in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15 and John chapter 16 that a comforter will come. It says, and I will pray in the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you. In 1 John chapter 14, 15, and 16, it gives six characteristics what the Holy Spirit does in this world. It says he abides in verse 16. He's a teacher in verse 26, but the comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, says he shall teach you all things. And then it goes on, it says he'll testify in chapter 15, verse 26, it says, but when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, it says he shall testify of me. He's the one that testifies. The Holy Spirit of God also is one that reproves. It says in verse 8 of chapter 16, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In chapter 16, verse 5, it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. In chapter 16, verse 14, it says, when the Holy Spirit of God, he shall glorify me. He glorifies God. God has not left us to ourselves. We go to John chapter 15. We see that Christ is the vine, but God is the husbandman. God doesn't leave us to ourselves. God watches care over us and he protects us, but he also gives us the agent or the person that God is using in this world, and it's the Holy Spirit of God. Paul said, I don't have to have my sufficiency in this world because my sufficiency is in God. But God has given me an able minister. God has given me something to help me in this earth. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. He gives life, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, the letter killeth. The letter talking about here is the law. What the law brought in the Old Testament, because somebody sinned, it brought condemnation on people. It brought a condemnation that they themselves could not take care of. It brought a person to literally itself. It couldn't do nothing. There was no sufficiency. The Old Testament, there was no sufficiency in themselves to take care of what the condemnation that the law brought upon the people. It was God saying that Paul used God in this, or God, Paul penned by the Holy Spirit of God that his sufficiency was in God. God used Paul many ways in the portion of scriptures that we're talking about. But one of the things he says, my sufficiency is of God, but God didn't leave me to myself. He gives me the Holy Spirit of God. He gives me the Holy Spirit of God. He makes me able. He makes me an able minister through the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit of God in verse 6 brings life. The Holy Spirit of God brings something else in verse 17. Now when the Spirit of the Lord... Now the Lord is that Spirit. But then it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not only does the able minister that God has given to us, which is the Holy Spirit of God, brings life, it brings life to a dead person, but also the Holy Spirit of God brings liberty. Paul's saying, I'm not bound by anything. My liberty is in God because the Holy Spirit of God came to my life. Because he was the able minister that God had given to me. Liberty, we think about our country and our nation in which we live. You think about 1776 and July 4th, and many people come to that portion. We're celebrating it just this weekend. In 1776, when we had the the Continental Congress gathered together for almost 2 years, trying to figure out how they can liberate themselves from Britain. How they can liberate themselves from the king. For 2 years, they wrote documents and papers. And on July 2nd to July 4th, they brought all those papers together and they made a final paper. It's called the Declaration of Independence. On July 4th, it was sent to King. And on July 4th was, we say, the start of America's separation, or the colonies become in America. Be liberated, be in our own nation. But understand this, as a born-again believer, we have liberty. And that liberty is because of the Holy Spirit of God. We're not bound by sin no more. Romans chapter 6. We're not bound by the law. We don't see through the veil anymore. Paul was talking about that here in these scriptures. We don't see through the veil anymore. We get to actually go beyond the veil. In the Old Testament, when they set up the tabernacle, they had the holies of holies that was separated from the veil, and they could only get into it once a year. When Christ came and died on Calvary's cross, he said the veil was ripped in twain from top to bottom. No more did we need somebody else to go for us. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have Christ bringing a relationship with God. He gives us liberty. And third thing, in chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians, he gives us light. It brings light. The Holy Spirit of God brings light. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This verse talks about sanctification. How God brings us to sanctifying us to bring us more like Christ. He's sanctifying us and drawing us together and becoming and conforming to the image of Christ and what God is doing in this world. Our sufficiency is not in ourselves. Paul's saying, I don't have to look to this world. I don't have to trust in the things of this world, the riches and the things. Even Paul later on in chapter, if you go on to chapter 10, and Paul tells about his ministry and how he laid naked in prison and how he had nothing. He had no money, no food, and he was just absolutely stripped of all himself, but yet he still sat in his jail cell singing because he knew his sufficiency was in God. So I asked myself this question, what is my sufficiency in? But thankfully, we don't have to be left for ourselves. God has given to us the able minister of the Holy Spirit of God. And then John gives us 6 attributes of the Spirit of the living God. So I ask you this question and I'll be done. I was asked to preach a short message by one of our church members. So here you go. I ask you this question and I'll close. What is your sufficiency? What is my sufficiency in? Am I really seeing the Spirit of the Lord move in my life, in my church's life, in my home life, in my marriage? Do I have that life, period? Is life in me, period? Have I come to know Christ as my personal Savior? That He brings liberty. Paul talks about how he had liberty to speak in this chapter. That the Holy Spirit of God gave him liberty to speak out and to hurl the things of God in him and where he was and what he went through. And then the Spirit of God brought life and brought light. Light to bring us and conform us and to sanctify us to the image of Christ. What are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in God or are you trusting in yourself? I ask myself that question. I apologize. I did have points, but I had just one thought. What is your sufficiency in? Let me ask you this question too. Is God enough for you? Do I need anything else? Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'll speak.